Upland Bible Church, Pastor Richard J. Olson, 920 Upland Boulevard, Las Vegas, Nevada, 89107. Sunday, first class, 13 July, 2025, Romans.
Anybody suffering from frostbite? So you see, you ought to be thanking God for this fantastic blessing of nice hot weather. Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing through the teaching of God's word. And therefore, open the word of God this morning to Romans chapter 8. Romans chapter 8. We are in a fantastic passage. Groan. We got the groans. In preparation to worship our Lord, let's pray. Father, we thank you, sir, for your infinite and your matchless grace. We thank you, Heavenly Father, that all that we have and all that we are is because of who and what you are, your magnificent grace. We thank you for the privilege we have this morning of fellowshipping with you through the study of your word. And as we do so, we ask that our teacher, God the Holy Spirit, will set apart the absolute truth of Scripture to the nourishment and to the benefit of each one of our souls. We pray these things in Jesus Christ's name. Amen. Romans chapter 8, let's start at verse 16. The Spirit Himself, that's God the Holy Spirit, testifies along with our spirit, the human spirit, that we are the children of God. And if we are children, we are also heirs. On the one hand, we are heirs of God the Father, but on the other hand, we are joint heirs with Christ. Then he goes on, if indeed we suffer with maturity status, undeserved suffering for blessing, for the purpose that we might also be glorified with Christ. Verse 18. For I conclude that the sufferings of this present period of time, that period you live on this earth as a spiritually mature believer, absolutely are not comparable to, not worthy to be compared with, the glory which is about to be revealed for us. Eternal rewards and blessings given to every spiritually mature believer. In one sense, verse 18 is the conclusion of the preceding paragraph, in which believers are assured of being heirs of God the Father, joint heirs with Jesus Christ in eternity. Paul reminds us that sharing in the glory of Christ in the future requires sharing in the sufferings in this life. Now, what kind of suffering did the Lord Jesus Christ have? Well, since the Lord Jesus Christ was impeccable, sinless perfection, The only category of suffering he could receive was undeserved suffering for blessing. Now, we are not impeccable, but when we live the spiritual life and attain spiritual maturity, we also share in the undeserved sufferings of Christ. And that's the best. Paul concluded that our present suffering for blessing are far outweighed by the glory that will be revealed for us, those fantastic eternal rewards and blessings in phase 3, eternity. This future glory is so great that the present suffering, undeserved suffering for blessing, are insignificant by comparison. Also, the glory of eternal blessings is forever, whereas the suffering and blessings in time, this momentary light affliction, is just very short. 2 Corinthians 4, verse 17. Certainly, knowing the absolute truth of this helps believers clear the spiritual hurdles of undeserved suffering for blessing in time. Romans 8:18 also serves as a topic sentence for the following discussion on the relationship between believers and the whole creation, both in their suffering and in their future glory. So now in Romans 8:19-27, we have sufferings of this present time. These are illustrations of undeserved suffering for blessing. And they are described by three groans, the groans of nature. Romans 8:19-22, the groan of the spiritually mature believer. Romans 8:23-25, the groan of the Holy Spirit. Romans 8:26-27. All right, we're in the first groan. We've only exegeted a part of verse 19, and it sounds like this. For the confident expectation of creation, nature, waits eagerly. Now, this is creation. This is nature, inanimate nature. Waits eagerly for the revealing of the sons of God. Now, this is going on right now. Nature. Waiting eagerly for the revealing of the sons of God. Inanimate creation. Now, if inanimate creation is waiting eagerly for the revealing of the sons of God, when's that going to happen? The second advent. When we return with Jesus Christ at the second advent is the revealing of the sons of God. And their nature is waiting eagerly for that. Now, if nature, who is inanimate, waits eagerly for the second advent and of Jesus Christ, the establishment of his kingdom, how much more should you and me eagerly be looking forward to the second advent of Jesus? First of all, the resurrection, the rapture, and then the body of Christ becomes the bride of Christ. Jesus Christ is the groom. And the groom is coming back bringing his bride. And we're the bride. When the revealing of the sons of God is the revealing of the bride. So the groom comes back and he's bringing his bride. And all of nature is celebrating at that return of Jesus Christ at the second advent. How much more should we be looking forward to that day? We come back as the bride of Christ, for the wedding supper of the Lamb, a 1,000-year wedding celebration. 1,000 years. See, you guys, when you got married, you were little wusses. 2 days, 1 day. When Christ comes back, the wedding supper of the Lamb is 1,000 years wedding celebration. And you know who turned the water into wine, don't you? So, for the revealing of the sons of God. Again, for the confident expectation of creation, nature waits eagerly for the revealing of the sons of God. Well, the word there, we never really exegeted the last part of verse 19. We have apokalypsis. A-P-O-K-A-L-U-P-S-I-S. Apokalypsis. Now, apokalypsis, point one, means disclosure. It means revelation. It means revelation of something or revelation of someone. So disclosure, revelation, revelation of something or someone. Two, this is a reference to the second advent of the Lord Jesus Christ. He's coming back again. And when he comes back as the King of all kings and Lord of all lords, and he's the groom and he's bringing us with him. And we are his bride. We are the sons of God. Two, this is a reference to the second advent. Three, at the second advent, we will have the manifestation of the bride. The Lord Jesus Christ is the groom. We are the bride. And at the second advent, we will have the manifestation of the bride, the revealing of the sons of God. Ton huion tu thao. There you go. You're so fortunate. You get to actually see what God the Holy Spirit put in the God-breathed scriptures, not some English translation. T long O N H U I long O N T O U T H E O U. Definite article. The plural of huios, sons. Definite article, it's in the genitive, of the, theos, in the genitive, God. The sons of the God. Ton huion tu thao. For the sons of God fall into two categories. The sons of God fall into two categories. First of all, the royal family of God. That's church age saints. And we are the bride, the manifestation of the bride at the second advent. That's the first category. The second category is Old Testament believers and tribulational martyrs, because they receive their resurrection body at the second advent. So Old Testament believers and tribulational martyrs, because they receive their resurrection body at the second advent. So the sons of God fall into two categories. The royal family of God, the manifestation of the bride of Christ, and Old Testament believers and tribulational martyrs, they receive their resurrection body at the second advent. So together, point five, this is the revealing of the sons of God. And all nature is waiting eagerly for the revelation, the revealing of the sons of God. So the corrected translation, for the confident expectation of creation, the material universe, waits eagerly for the revealing of the sons of God. Two categories, royal family of God, the manifestation of the bride of Christ, Old Testament believers and tribulational martyrs receiving their resurrection body at the second advent. Now, there's a chronology. Let's just note the chronology. We're not going to look at a lot of scripture here. We'll wait for that for the doctrine, because I have the doctrine of the manifestation of the bride, the revealing of the Son of God. But first of all, the chronology. The chronology. First, the rapture of the church. That has to take place first. We live in the church age. The end of the church age is the resurrection of the royal family of God, the rapture. And when is the rapture going to take place? Well, nobody knows. It's signless and timeless. But frankly, I think it's damn close. I think it's heavenly close. Isn't it? Better not get damn in there, guys. It's heavenly close. I really believe that, and you know, it's signless and timeless. I understand that. But I'm trying not to stay four-letter words, you know. The dignity of the clergy and so forth. And if I said some of the words I've said from this pulpit, my mom would take me and wash my mouth out with soap. You ever remember naphtha soap, that brown soap? Oh, I didn't even know what some of these words meant. Kids in the neighborhood, I was playing with them, and they said these words, and I didn't even know what they meant. So I came into the house, I just said those words. She grabbed me by the ear, pulled me in to the bathroom, leaned me over, took that naphtha soap. I sure as hell wasn't going to say those words again. I mean, the rapture of the church occurs at the end of the church age. That's first. And then second, the big genuflex in the sky, we studied that, Philippians 2, 9 through 11. The rapture, we've studied that in 1 Corinthians 15, 51 to 58, 1 Thessalonians 4, 13 to 18. The big genuflex, we studied Philippians 2, 9 through 11. Third, in the chronology, the judgment seat of Christ. So first the rapture, then the big genuflex, then the judgment seat of Christ, 2 Corinthians 5, 10, we've studied that. Fourth in the chronology, the bride returning with Christ at the second advent. And we've studied a lot of those passages. There's one that we haven't seen for a while, 1 Thessalonians 3:13. And 1 Thessalonians 3:13 says, so that he may establish your hearts unblameable in holiness before our God and Father at the coming of our Lord Jesus with all his saints. With all his saints. 1 Thessalonians 3:13. So the bride returning with Christ at the second advent is the fourth part of the chronology. Fifth part, the manifestation of the bride, the revealing of the sons of God. Well, that's our passage, Romans 8:19. Sixth is Operation Footstool. And we've seen that, Psalm 110, verse 1. Seven is the coronation of the groom, the Lord Jesus Christ. And that is in Revelation 19, verse 6. We'll see that when we get to the doctrine of the manifestation of the bride and the revealing of the sons of God. And eight, the wedding supper of the Lamb, or the word, the wedding banquet. The wedding banquet of the Lamb, Revelation 19, 7 to 9. So the chronology for the revealing of the sons of God. First, the rapture of the church. Second, the big genuflex in the sky. Third, the judgment seat of Christ. Fourth, the bride returning with Christ to the second advent. Fifth, the manifestation of the bride, the revealing of the sons of God, 6, Operation Footstool, 7, the coronation of the groom, Jesus Christ, 8, the wedding supper of the Lamb, Revelation 19, 7 to 9. Now you're ready for the doctrine of the manifestation of the bride, the revealing of the sons of God. The doctrine of the revealing of the sons of God. All right, point one. Now the bride is a title for the royal family of God in their resurrection body in heaven. Now, on earth, the royal family is called the body of Christ, right? We, all throughout the scripture, while we're here on earth, we are the body of Christ. Jesus Christ is the head. We are the body of Christ. And that, we are the body of Christ through the baptism of the Holy Spirit. At the moment of salvation, at that very moment that you simply believe in Jesus Christ, God the Holy Spirit takes you and enters you into union with Christ. He's the head, we are the body. Now there's a lot of passages that teach that, so let's look at some of those. First of all, let's take a look at Ephesians chapter 1. Ephesians 1. Ephesians chapter 1. Ephesians 1, verse 22. And God the Father, placed all things under his feet, the Lord Jesus Christ, and appointed him, the Lord Jesus Christ, to be head over everything for the church, which is his body. So the Lord Jesus Christ is the head, and we are his body, the fullness of him who fills everything in every way. And then let's go over to Ephesians chapter 4. Ephesians chapter 4. Ephesians 4, verse 4. There is one body and one Spirit, God the Holy Spirit, just as you were called to one hope when you were called. There is one Lord, there is one faith, there is one baptism, that's the baptism of the Holy Spirit, one God and Father of all, who is over all, and through all, and in all. And then turn over to Ephesians chapter 5 and a passage dealing with the divine institution of marriage. Ephesians chapter 5, then this is very important for the divine institution of marriage. Verse 22, wives, hupotasso, be subordinate to your husbands as to the Lord. For the husband is the head of the wife, as Christ is the head of the church, his body, of which he is its Savior. And then go over to Colossians chapter 1. Colossians chapter 1, verse 18. And he is the head of the body, the church. He is the beginning and the firstborn from among the dead, so that in everything he might have supremacy. And then Colossians 1, verse 24. Now I rejoice in what was suffered for you, and fill up in my flesh what is still lacking in regard to Christ's affliction, for the benefit of his body, which is the church, church universal, the royal family of God. So the earth, on earth, the royal family is called the body of Christ. And the royal family is formed on earth during the church age. The body is formed at salvation, faith in Jesus Christ, through, at that moment, the baptism of the Holy Spirit. So point two, when the body is completed, that's when the rapture will occur. So I take it back. I do know exactly when the rapture is going to occur. When the body is completed, then the rapture is going to occur right then. So when the body is completed, the rapture will occur. And the rapture takes the royal family to heaven in order to be prepared. Where the body of Christ in heaven is the bride of Christ, and now the bride has to be prepared for her revealing at the second advent. So the rapture takes the royal family to heaven in order to be prepared for the second advent. Well, in fact, well, go ahead and turn over to Revelation 19. Revelation chapter 19. There's only two books I haven't taught in the time I've been here at Upland Bible Church, Hebrews and Revelation. And if the Lord tarries, and he continues to give me the health and strength to keep being here every day and study, so I have something to feed you from the God-breathed Scripture, not some translation, then I'll eventually do it. Hebrews will be first. Revelation will be last, because that brings all the bugs crawl out from underneath and come in. And who's the Antichrist? You are. Revelation 19, verse 6. Then I heard what sounded like a great multitude, like the roar of rushing waters and like loud peals of thunder, shouting, Hallelujah! For our Lord God Almighty reigns. Let us rejoice and be glad and give him glory, for the wedding of the Lamb has come. And his bride, that's using and meezing, weezing, and his bride has made herself ready. Fine linen, bright and clean, was given her to wear. Now the fine linen stands for the grace righteous production of the saints. All right. Point three. During the tribulation on earth, the bride is prepared in heaven. During the tribulation on earth, the bride is prepared in heaven. The believer gets a resurrection body, exactly like Christ's resurrection body. Philippians 3, verse 21. Who by the power that enables him to bring everything under his control, he will transform our lowly bodies so that they will be like his glorious body. Philippians 3:21. And then 1 John 3. 1 John 3. verse 1. How great is the love the Father has lavished on us, that we should be called children of God. And that is what we are. The reason the world does not know us is that it did not know Him. Beloved, now we are children of God, and what we will be has not yet been made known. But we know that when He appears, the rapture, we will be like Him, for we shall see Him as He is. Everyone who has this hope, this confidence in Him, purifies himself just as He is pure. So the believers, first of all, get a resurrection body exactly like Christ. Secondly, the bride is cleansed from all human good dead works. The bride is cleansed from all human good dead works. And that's 1 Corinthians 3. 1 Corinthians 3, 11 to 15. In verse 11, for no one can lay any foundation other than the one already laid, which is Jesus Christ. Now if any man builds on this foundation using gold, silver, precious stones, that's divine good production, that's the result of living your spiritual life, advancing to maturity. There is a result of living the spiritual life and advancing to spiritual maturity. The result is maximum divine good production. Gold, silver, and precious stone. That's not the means, that's the result. Gold, silver, and precious stone. Now, there's another category, which is totally different. Wood, hay, and straw. And wood, hay, and straw is human good dead works. Human good dead works. So there's two categories. Maximum divine good production, the result of living the spiritual life, and then human good dead works from not living the spiritual life. His work will be shown for what it is, because the day, the judgment seat of Christ, will bring it to light. It will be revealed with fire. And the fire will test the quality of each man's production. If what he has built survives, that's the gold, silver, and precious stones, he will receive his reward. Pleres misthos, that we've been saying. Full reward at the judgment seat of Christ. If it's burned up, wood, hay, and straw, human good dead works, he will suffer loss of greater grace, blessings, and rewards, crowns and rewards at the judgment seat of Christ. But he himself will be saved. Eternal security. But only as one escaping through the flames. So the bride is cleansed from all human good dead works. Now, you're all going to be there. I hope that this congregation, when you're cleansed, I don't see a giant bonfire going up. Oh, that's Pastor Olson's congregation. There you go. No, I don't expect to see that. Third, the old sin nature is removed. The old sin nature is removed. And fourth, the royal family, therefore, will never, ever enter the lake of fire. The royal family will never enter the lake of fire. So during the tribulation on earth, the bride is prepared in heaven. That's point three. Point four, at the second advent, we have the revealing of the sons of God. That's our passage, Romans 8:19. At the second advent, we have the revealing of the sons of God. And again, the sons of God include the royal family, the bride of Christ, and Old Testament believers and tribulational martyrs, because Old Testament believers and tribulational martyrs receive their resurrection body at the second advent. So at the second advent, we have the revealing of the sons of God. And then five, our return is related to Operation Footstool, Psalm 110, verse 1. Related to Operation Footstool, you can turn over to Psalm 110, verse 1. Psalm 110, verse 1. O Lord, that's God the Father, the Lord says to my Lord, God the Father says to the Messiah, the Lord Jesus Christ, sit at my right hand until I make your enemies a footstool for your feet. Operation Footstool. So our return is related to Operation Footstool, Psalm 110, verse 1. This includes a triumphal procession. Very interesting passage in Colossians. Turn over to Colossians. Colossians chapter 2. Colossians chapter 2, verse 15. Colossians 2:15, when he had disarmed the rulers, that's ruling demons, and authorities, that's demons in authority, he made a public display of them, having triumphed over them through him, the Lord Jesus Christ. And then Satan, our return is related to Operation Footstool, which includes Satan is imprisoned. Revelation 21-3, he's put in prison. Revelation 20, verses 1 through 3. Revelation 20, verse 1, and I saw an angel coming down out of heaven, having the key to the abyss, and holding in his hand a great chain. He seized the dragon, that ancient serpent, who is the devil, or Satan, and bound him for 1,000 years. He threw him into the abyss, and locked and sealed it over him to keep him from deceiving the nations anymore until the 1,000 years were ended, the millennial kingdom was over. After that, he must be set free for a short time. Revelation 21 through 3. So our return is related to Operation Footstool. There is a triumphal procession. Satan is imprisoned. Point six, then we have the coronation of the King of all kings and the Lord of all lords. And that's Revelation 19:6, and we already saw that passage. Then we have the coronation of the King of all kings and the Lord of all lords, Revelation 19:6. And then seven, then we have the wedding banquet of the Lamb, the wedding banquet of our Lord Jesus Christ. And that's Revelation 19:9. We saw that as well. All right. So the marriage between the groom, the Lord Jesus Christ, and the bride, the royal family, that takes place in heaven. The wedding banquet takes place on earth. All right? So, verse 19 again says, corrected translation, for the confident expectation of creation, nature, waits eagerly for the revealing of the sons of God. All right. So, one, the second advent does two things. The second advent does two things. First, reveals the sons of God. Romans 8:19 reveals the sons of God. And secondly, restores nature to its pristine perfection that it had in the garden before the fall of Adam. So the second advent does two things. Reveals the sons of God and restores nature to its pristine perfection. Two, the second advent introduces the millennial kingdom. The millennial kingdom. And at that time, the material universe will be restored. Restored to its pristine perfection. The second advent introduces the millennial kingdom, and at that time, the material universe will be restored to its pristine perfection. And that's why creation is eagerly, waiting eagerly for the revealing of the sons of God. And this is inanimate creation. How much more should we be looking forward to that? Three, the present curse on nature will be removed at the second advent. The present curse on nature will be removed at the second advent. Four, the pristine glory of nature in the Garden of Eden will be restored in the millennial kingdom. The pristine glory of nature in the Garden of Eden will be restored in the millennial kingdom. Five, the personification of nature, and that's what's going on. We have the personification of nature because nature's inanimate, but it is a personification. Nature waits eagerly, like a person, waits eagerly for the revealing of the sons of God. The personification of nature acts, sets up a parallel to us, the undeserved suffering of the spiritually mature believer. You see, the suffering that nature is going through ever since the fall of Adam, totally undeserved suffering. They didn't do anything. They come under undeserved suffering because of Adam's fall and Satan becoming the ruler of planet Earth. So nature's under undeserved suffering. So there's a parallel here. The personification of nature sets up a parallel to the undeserved suffering that nature is going through and the undeserved suffering of the spiritually mature believer. Now I want to amplify that and go into it in more detail, but we're going to take a break so you can go out and warm up because some of you are just freezing in here. So we'll take a break and we'll see you in about a few for part two.